Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today.
WMR.fm. It's the 25th of September. Three more shopping months till Christmas, and almost no time to get your e-com stores together for Christmas, or for more importantly, for Black Friday and Cyber Monday. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls.
Hi, everybody.
Before we get into it, special thanks to our sponsors, Wix Studio and Audience Key. I'm kind of in a really melancholy space this week. The company I've been doing white label service for, that I've been getting a lot of my clients for the last like 6 years of my life, has decided to close down after the largest of our shared clients took all of their work in-house. And but when I say largest, I mean like Fortune 50 size largest. So the loss of this client was just an extraordinary blow to the company, and it closed down. And I've been working with these guys for 6 years, and with that particular client also for 6 years. And again, it was nothing to do with the work of the company I was working with, Brand Labs. It was a decision that was made at a 30 or 40,000 foot level in a corporate office, or several corporate offices spread across around the world, but it had nothing to do with our tiny little division that we were working with. But I digress. The company I was working with, and the team, most importantly, the people I was working with, that just ended on Monday. And it's a really weird and sad space. By far the best dev team I've ever worked with, and probably the kindest company I've ever worked with. So it's
really sad for you. I know how important that was.
Yeah, really wonderful, nice people, and good, extraordinary techies. I learned so much in the 6 years. And it's funny because this is like the twilight of my career, right? I'm in my late 50s and looking down the long barrel of retirement and that sort of stuff. And I swear to goodness, this part of my career, I've learned more than the rest of it put together.
That's great. And retirement, what's that?
Well, retirement is, I guess, in our world, where we go from like working 40 to 60 hours to do all the stuff we got to do just to stay in business, to 30 hours.
Yeah.
Or maybe 20 hours, or where we're doing it just because we want to do it, not because we have to do it to survive.
Very true.
But anyway, the whole point being, in the last 6 years working with Brand Labs and with the clients that we have worked with, I've learned more about the web development, teamwork, how to work with other people, and how a work team can actually act like a very supportive family. We got ourselves through COVID and through the massive contraction of business that happened then, sudden expansion of business again, and the whole wave. So it's a big loss, big hole in my heart for now.
Yeah, I know. It's really hard when that happens.
Yep. And no matter what, when big change happens in our lives, this is just a really weird, it's my birthday next week.
Happy birthday to you.
It's also the 1 year anniversary of my mom's death. So weird freaking week, listeners.
Yeah.
This is gonna be maybe a little bit more open and personal show. I don't know.
Anniversaries are very hard. So.
Yeah, but when change happens, this is Earth. Yeah. This is the internet. Change happens all, it's the constant. And stuff always moves forward. And we're part of a big information flow.
So. Yes.
Okay, speaking of information flow, the Google spam date ended. It's over. It ended on
Completed on the
Started
22nd, yeah, on
in the
Monday.
22nd. They've started on the 26th of August, which is funny because it's called the August spam update, but most of it ran in September. Completed September 22nd, and it was actually pretty big and had a fairly widespread impact, eh?
I don't know. I heard that in the beginning, but I haven't heard a lot since this happened, since it ended. So, which it might be also because I've been in Brighton SEO all week. So, just also explains my voice today. So, I
It's
may
end
not
of
have heard
month.
much. Yeah.
It's end of month. So I've been doing reports for the clients of that company that we're winding down with. And ironically, I mean, from the SEO point of view, this is Brand Labs wasn't an SEO company. I was just doing the SEO on their clients. And ironically, the a lot of they had some pretty heavy e-com clients. Ironically, the spam update was really good for these e-com clients because a lot of their spammy competitors, AI created content, badly written or curated content, or just straight knockoff stuff, was slowly curated out of the SERPs, and they naturally rose in position against it.
Yeah, it is good when they run the spam updates and get the bad sites out of the way. And generally, spam updates are pretty accurate. They don't go wild and just hit whatever sites. So it should be positive for companies like yours if you're doing the right things, which you obviously were. So.
Yep. So for those people affected, in case I don't get to say so in the future, you're welcome. No, it was their work that got them there, but it was, our work that positioned them in a place to take advantage of what Google's becoming. Because Google, totally telegraphed this stuff years ago, just as they're telegraphing what they want from people now. But I digress.
Well, and the joke in the committee is spam is sites positioned above mine, because
Yeah,
everyone was
that's
like, "You're just mad I'm positioned above yours." But in this case, the site spam might have been in position above yours and is now out of the way, so you can climb up.
Well, in the old Wild West days of SEO, that was certainly the attitude. Anything a
Yes.
position bigger than me, that's spam. It's got to go.
Exactly.
Okay, Google had a search bug going where some search results would get just inundated, overwhelmed with ads. That has been fixed.
Yeah, we will not see that anymore. It's a
Yeah,
good
that's
thing.
kind of too bad because I always think that's kind of funny when stuff like that happens.
Yeah. It was funny.
Kind of like when the boom comes down in the in a shot in like in TV or in a movie, you see like the boom mic come down. Same
Yeah,
sort of thing.
exactly. Yeah.
Google is testing an AI search option that they are calling Darksteel. Darksteel. This is actually one of the better names they've ever come up with. Like if you're
It
gonna
really
never let
is.
engineers name stuff unless they're gonna name it Darksteel. So,
Yeah. Yeah. The other names were AI mode, web guide, memoirs, ear. I mean, ear. Sorry, air. AI topics. Very boring. Dark steel is much better.
what do we know about this option test?
Nothing. We know nothing right
Nothing.
now. No, we
Just out
just
there doing
know.
it.
Just that someone saw it show up in the bar below search with the different options. And instead of like AI mode, it says AI mode dark steel. So this is a different version. Barry couldn't recreate it, but he trusts the person that reported it.
Okay, hold on. So, like, you're getting a search result screen that instead of saying AI mode gives you AI mode dash dark steel.
Yes,
Oh
yeah,
my God, that's
exactly.
wonderful. I mean, well, how would you feel if you got that? You'd have to click it,
You'd have to screenshot it and say, Barry, is this new? Very
and then
short.
click it just to see what
Yeah,
happens. I mean, it says dark
exactly.
steel.
But there really wasn't much information that the person had just spotted that it showed up. They didn't really have any information about it. So apparently, it is some sort of test that they're doing, and maybe accidentally released the name to the public.
Well,
So,
again, if you're gonna make a mistake in favor of Darksteel,
yeah,
because that's a good name. I'm so impressed.
it
I
is.
just want to say it over and
Yeah.
over and over again. I'm so impressed by Google this time.
We used to have great names, and then now we've got all boring August spam update. So at least Dark Steel is interesting.
Darksteel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Before we jump to our stories there, can I jump in real quick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I totally
Yeah,
forgot.
you
I can't
forgot. Yeah.
believe that. You are in Brighton, San Diego.
I am. I have to tell everybody. We talked to Bruce Clay yesterday, for those who didn't know who Bruce is.
How's
And
he
he had a
doing?
good, but he had a booth, and he said this is the best booth experience he's had since like 2010. Like in the old days when the vendor floor was so full. And I won't say how many leads he got, but he said more than he would ever expect. And then this Byfu Rival Flow guys also had a similar experience. Mike Roberts runs those. He's a great, great guy.
Yeah,
Byfu has a
Spyfu is a lot of fun. I always like those guys.
and they have a new tool where they take their data and use an LLM on top of it. So this isn't like the large language model where it can just make things wrong. They're using their data. It's just summarizing things. And you can talk to SpyFu and ask it questions. And so they have a new version, which is free for now. So everyone should go out and check it. And you can say, like, who are the five top? You have to use a prompt, but they give you those two. Who's the five top competitors in X space in San Diego? And it will list you the information that it has from SpyFu's database, not from
Good.
general web. Yeah. So it's really awesome. It's a really great tool. And RivalFlow is one of the few AI tools that I'm cool with, and AI writing tools. And what they do is they look at the entities of your competitors. And if you're not talking about the same entities, they'll write you a little block, paragraph, maybe two paragraphs, and show you how it would work in your article, which is a really good thing because the entities is what Google is doing. Nouns, entities are nouns. What they're doing for the neural matching, which is the last word order. So if someone searches for X entity, and does your page contain the information about that entity? Yes or no, and you can pull or you don't. So it's a really good tool. But anyway, everyone, it's a great conference. Anybody who's looking for a fun, old school style conference where everyone just hangs together, networks, has good talks to go to, like it was a really excellent conference. And they give away free tickets, so most people can get at least one day for free. They also have Hero Conference associated attached to it, which is a paid version. So it's not organic and paid, just still separate conferences. So it was great. It's a great experience. So it's going to be in San Diego next year. I already put it up online, so people should keep an eye out for those free tickets, and definitely make a plan to come next year because it's just and it's San Diego, which is full
Yeah,
of
San
quaint.
Diego is all bay. Did you party on a boat?
We did. I did party on a boat. I got on the Yext boat cruise. There were two boat cruises, Channable and Yext, so it was a lot of fun. They took us around the harbor for about 3 hours, and we got a nice dinner. Very nice dinner. Very good. And it was just great. It's the old school social, just networking with everybody. Everybody's really nice and happy to see everybody, and lots of good, talk about industry stuff that no one else wants to hear in your life. So it's always nice at conferences, getting geek out, and saw old friends, and we just all had a great time.
Bruce was at his own booth.
Yeah, he had a magician there. He
Of
had
course
people
he did.
with, yeah.
That's wonderful. Bruce Clay, for the uninitiated, and I can't imagine that anybody listening to this show it would be called the uninitiated. Bruce Clay is one of the grandfathers of the industry,
Yeah,
undisputably.
exactly. And so yeah, it was an excellent show, and the vendor floor was huge, and lots of tools that you may have heard of or may not, but you get to talk to them, and they have a lot of specials at the show too. So it was good. It was a really good show. I think it's one of the best ones in years. So
Well, congratulations to the Brighton folks, and
thank you,
to Brighton, San
Sheldon.
Diego.
Yeah.
I'm sad that I wouldn't be able to go to that show, and I think there's a number of people who wouldn't be able to go, simply because of it being located in the United States. But
Welcome to the
welcome to the abyss.
abyss.
So we have a we have the segment which we're calling The Abyss,
Yes.
mostly because it talks about the intersection of tech and what's become the technoligarchs, who spent a great deal of time and energy in the last few years affecting the outcome of the most recent election. They basically created the outcome of the election and now are reaping the technoligarchs, whatever. Anyway, we got a front row seat to all that. And we can't let it go without commenting on stuff that we think affects the tech industry, the environment that we work in, that may be detrimental or whatever. And this is something that is going to so hurt the American tech industry. It's absurd that this is happening. It's going to be great for my country, Canada. We are going to so 100% take advantage of this. The Trump administration has enacted a $100,000 per worker visa fee on new H-1B visas or new one
Yeah.
H-1B visa applications. This is it's just an astounding amount of money, and a massive wrench to throw into a machine that has created more wealth for the for America than than almost than like minerals have. I mean, tech is the backbone of the American economy right now.
Yeah, and the other thing too is by adding this $100,000 price tag, the smaller companies won't be able to afford it. They won't be able to compete. If you're Google, okay, I mean it sucks, but you'll pay it. But the smaller companies, the startup companies that need these developers, won't be able to. So it already costs $10,000 for a tech worker for an H-1B visa, and the fees and the lawyers and all that sort of stuff. So you imagine like you're gonna hire 10 as a startup with like 30 million to invested in you, and you're gonna do what, burn a million on 10 developers? Like that's not gonna happen. And
Indeed.
we don't, the tech market is large enough we can have H-1B visas because we won't have enough people to work these jobs that they need in these high specialized areas. So, this isn't like an entry level position someone's coming in for on an H-1B visa. They're coming in as a, already someone who's very experienced, so.
Much of the tech that we're using today was built with H-1B visa mines. And to bring the volume, the sheer number of people we need with this level of education, the American workforce simply doesn't provide enough people at that level with that amount of training. Hence the need for the H-1B visa program and the serious use of it. There has been abuses of the program, certainly, but to by and large, the program's been like, I think successful is to is not strong a word. I mean, like the American tech industry is the American tech industry. It's kind of successful. This is a massive wrench to throw into it. And I'm going to tell you straight up that the tech triangle in Toronto, Waterloo, Guelph, we are absolutely taking advantage of this.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, 100%. Other countries will for sure as well.
Vancouver, Montreal, they're taking advantage of this. Germany, England, France have already come out saying, come here. We want you. So,
They have. Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's a very narrow mind. I don't know the right word today, but
the very narrow-minded way of.
it's basically, I mean, I can say this because it's factual. Stephen Miller is an outed white nationalist, and he runs these policies for Trump. So he was outed by his own emails by another white nationalist. So they're public. And this is more, to me, feels more like we're just going to get rid of all people that are not what we like, as opposed to something that's good for the country. Because $100,000 per worker, plus the reforms that need to be made are things like if an H-1B visa loses their job, they can be deported almost immediately, very quickly. Because they're tied to their job. So there were reforms that needed to be made to H-1B visas. But not this is not that.
Once you get an H-1B visa, it takes about 10 years through the naturalization process to become a citizen.
Oh yeah, for sure.
These aren't people. I mean, these are people who come, they get they do get paid, tend to get paid high salary jobs. And these are people who come to the country to work for extended periods of time. They are making a commitment to the to themselves and to the country that they're coming to America. They buy property, they pay taxes, they get driver's licenses, they buy cars. They pay speeding tickets should they be pulled over for speeding. They buy clothing, they send their children to school. They buy school supplies for their children, etc. They get Netflix subscriptions, adding to the great cycle of life.
And in the last administration, same president, one, I won't know their name because I'm my story to tell with their name attached, but they were on an H-1B visa. And I don't know if you remember, but they did a whole lot of delaying and they weren't sure if they're going to renew them and all that. Well, because they were in a non-status, right? They weren't deported, but they were waiting. They spent $200,000 and put all their stuff in their home in a unit, storage unit, had to pull their kids out of school because they couldn't attend. So, the H-1B status is very difficult for people to manage. It's not like
It's
you just come
precarious.
here and you don't just come here and hang. And then when they finally did get it worked out, he made the decision to leave the country. And he was an executive at some of the biggest Fortune 100s over
That's
his
a
time here, and he was here for a good over 10 years.
well, again, these are people who make long-term commitments to society, and again, take on the responsibilities of those commitments. Which tends to come with putting a lot of money back into the economy.
And it means we
So their
can't recruit the
benefits, their
top
net
talent.
benefits, and they are the top talent. Now, here's something neat about India and China. Just do the math on this really quickly. It's 350 million people in America. There's 1 billion, 1 billion, 2 in India, 1 billion, 1 billion, 2 in China. If you're 1 in a million in America, you're like 1 in 30,000 in China and or India. There's just so many more people that statistically there's more people of great talent just because there's just so many more people. And the education opportunities are there. So America, understand you're shooting yourself in the foot. Don't do it.
Especially at
But
the
if you're
time of
gonna,
AI, because it won't be competitive. So,
yeah.
yeah.
But if you're gonna, don't get mad when the rest of us take advantage of it, because we're gonna. Okay. So remember when X or Twixter was sold to Elon Musk, and Elon Musk used this thing to basically create what's become, I think it's easily recognized as a far right, sometimes Nazi loving propaganda machine.
Yeah,
Well,
yes.
TikTok is the American government, starting with the Biden regime, did say that TikTok has to sell its assets to an American owner. Yeah, man, it's kind of been up there, and so they're gonna. Larry Ellison, an ownership group made up of Larry far right figure, and Oracle owner Larry Ellison, and far right media mogul Rupert Murdoch are going to be buying TikTok, it seems.
And also Anderson,
Oh,
and I always say it wrong,
I'm sorry, and
Andersen.
also Marcus Andreessen of Andreessen
Andreessen, sorry, I
Horowitz,
always say it.
who is now he's kind of like the Morrissey of the far right. Also a far right aficionado, although in Morrissey slash Andreessen's sort of defense, they did do cool things in the past, such as the Mozilla Foundation, Firefox, and ownership and continuation of the Open Directory project. Thus necessitating the meta tag no DMOS.
Yes, people will remember this. The issue is that we know from recent history that people like the Murdoch don't family don't stay out of the operations. They influence it with their ideologies, which is different than just being an owner and investing. So we have Murdoch family owns quite a few of the catering to the right-wing media outlets and publications, and Oracle has just been handling the data, data storing it here as opposed to there. I don't know if they would have a lot of influence over how it's run itself, but Murdoch and how Mark, what is it again? Andrew, I
Mark
always say
and
it wrong.
Marcus and Jason.
I say something too. But it is true that they have 170 million users, and by this data's from CNN. There are a lot of those users that will jump ship because they're very willing to just leave TikTok because TikTok does all these crazy things with how they like moderate your account. So it's like I had a story that was straight from the news with a picture from the news and facts from the news, and it was taken down for violating community standards, and I had no way to appeal. And they do that stuff
Well,
all the time. So as I say, the risk for them who are investing, thinking they're going to have this mass platform, is it could wind up just turning into a true social, where everybody but the right is there. And they don't particularly, the right doesn't particularly like that because there's no one to argue with.
I think that's kind of unlikely. I think they learned their lesson from X, and they'll be a lot more subtle in the application of the algorithm, much like they are at Facebook, which has taken a turn to decidedly to the right since January. I'm TikTok is the thing that, I mean, the thing that's always bothered me about TikTok is its quick hit information distributed by algorithm. And so there is definitely a great deal of electronic thought put into what anybody gets to see and the information and the vibe people get throughout the day. Having people like Larry Ellison or associated with Larry Ellison or Robert Murdoch run such a powerful machine that really vibes off people's endorphins scares the bejesus out of me. It really does. So
Yeah,
definitely
on the
an
positive
abyss.
side, it's not a done deal, and there's a 120-day pause again on what's happening to TikTok, so it at least won't happen for 3 to 3 months or more. So right now, there's the evaluation process, I suppose, is what they're doing. So anyway.
If I were it, now hint to the far right, if I were you, I'd buy this thing because I mean, seriously, it is the most powerful propaganda tool outside of X or Twitter.
Yeah, it's very,
If
it
you don't
is
buy
very
it,
real.
you're stupid. Well, I mean, if you don't buy it, you're dumber than you look. You know what you might know what I mean. Buy
And
it, to be clear.
by the way, here's a real good time. I just want to jump in real quick. We didn't do our disclaimer. We don't normally talk politics. Unfortunately, tech and politics have become intertwined, and this is one of those areas where that is the case. So,
Yes.
anyway, yes, go ahead. This was an interesting
Okay.
story that we're
Well,
coming
this is
across.
because you're not sure where this is coming from. I think I know where this is coming from, and it's not what you might think, right? So Systrix is reporting a sharp drop in how ChatGPT in the number of ChatGPT web searches. Apparently ChatGPT is using the web less often for anonymous users, dropping gets from like 15% to 2.5% of usages would involve a search. Now,
In 2 weeks.
in 2 weeks,
Yeah, in 2 weeks.
why do you think that would have happened?
I'm not really sure. I've read all the supposition from Systrix, but they don't have any definite thing that they can point to. It's what they do, they say what it's not. Like, it's not the Bing search API retirement or the Google search SERP access changes. This isn't Search Engine Journal or any change like that. So they couldn't find out from OpenAI, what's going on, and I don't think they have the tools to really measure because they're not getting the on-site measurement. So,
See, Systrix's problem is they have to say this is definitely why this is happening. They can't say we think this is why this is happening, but I can.
right. What do
I
you
can,
think?
though. I think this is happening because people are very disappointed with the new quality of
Oh.
ChatGPT responses, answers, and since 5.0 came out, people have just been disaffected with ChatGPT. And in the last couple of weeks, I've been hearing some serious complaints about it specifically, not about Claude or Gemini or any of the others, but ChatGPT. People just I guess when something really important to you, you feel like it let you down in a way, you just hold on
Yeah.
to that, right?
No, that's
And
true. And we've done stories on that, so.
so I'm betting that's going to be the reason, but honest to goodness, I got no idea. I don't
No,
know that.
that's actually because it also coincides with other reports we've talked about where people, once they use these products for a while, don't really, if the magic is in the beginning when you don't understand it at all, and not after you've gotten your like 10th wrong answer, or you did the prompt 10 times and can't get it to do what you want it to do. Like when I use Veo from Google a couple times to test it, you get three chances and it gets the prompt wrong at least like twice. And you can't say like, do I get a new credit? No. And you have to wait 24 hours. And I'm a pro version. I'm not like free. So I think you're probably right. That really makes a lot of sense. That two things: the magic wears off after you're a newbie, and then in addition, the later models have not been as satisfying to users. So that makes a lot of sense.
To go with what you're
It's
saying, sorry.
only, I was just saying, it's only a 2 week period, so it could completely change again. But yeah.
And to go with what you're saying, furthermore, I would suggest ChatGPT is probably the first of the AIs or the AI tools that users come across. And so, if they get disappointed in it, they'll move on to something else. They'll try Gemini, they'll try Claude, they'll try something else, and thus ChatGPT usage and its ancillary other tool usage like search will drop because of that. So yeah, there.
Yeah, it makes sense.
People are getting used to seeing AI around, and they don't necessarily, well, they know it's there. People know AI is all over the place, but they don't know exactly where it is. Although it's one of those things, I don't know what porn is, but or I don't know what obscenity is, but I do know it when I see it.
Right, yeah. That's a Yeah, it's a 76% of American, I'm sorry, yeah, US adults in a Pew Research study want that AI content labeled because only 12% feel they are confident in spotting it. So they really want to push for the labels to occur. Pew Research Center wrote, Americans feel strongly that it's important to be able to tell if pictures, videos, or texts were made by an AI or by humans. Yet many don't trust their own ability to spot AI-generated content. This is in an article by Search Engine Journal. So the confidence gap is really rising when it comes to people and having so much AI. Also, 60% of Americans want more control over AI, an increase over 55% from last year. They're open to having to help with some daily tasks, but they want clarity on where it ends and human involvement begins. There's a lot of people that have, rejected lots of the versions of AI, not all AI, but large portions. Younger audiences are way more aware. 60% understand. 62% claiming they've heard a lot about it. That surprises me that only 62% have claimed they have heard a lot. Now, it's a lot is the key there. So anyway, it does look like it's not a smooth and easy road for AI ever, but it does seem there's more and more want for information about how it's affecting your life and when you're seeing it, when you're involved with it, engaging with it.
Well, I think that makes a lot of sense. People want to know where their information comes from and if they can trust it or not. Adoption of AI, I think that's fait accompli. It's being adopted by the general public. And it will improve greatly over time, undoubtedly.
Yeah. Might not, just because we know that the hallucinations are a mathematical problem that cannot be fixed.
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
Yeah.
sir, I'm sorry. Well, they cannot be fixed without forms of intervention, such as grounding 3, 4, 5, or 6 times over before you give a response. Yeah, hallucinations are going to happen, but misinformation is going to happen in student. I remember. I went to school before the internet existed, and we had to get multiple sources for anything we would claim in an essay.
But
Why?
remember,
Because mistakes would happen.
right, but in this kind of thing, the source is maybe not true either. So,
That may well be true.
I just don't know. We usually, things will improve because of the limitations they're finding more and more of the answers to. Like, no one knew why hallucinations always occurred. That's why they kept training more and more. And now they're like, no, it's mathematical. So you could train on 10 petabytes and you're still not going to change the outcome on the hallucination problem. So.
No, well, again, you won't stop the hallucinations from happening. You might get 10 answers, seven of which agree with them with each other, three of which are way off the wall. And that's the way you ground it. Because you got seven of 10 saying this is probably correct, and three going monkey butt. Well, the
Monkey
seven
butt.
of 10 are probably correct. It's actually kind of what Google's been doing with trusting the authority of links all along. Well, enough of them are probably correct. It's probably correct. So,
Sure.
okay, just radically understating the effect of links on Google. So I have a USB speaker that is run out of battery juice, freaking out behind me somewhere in the in
You
my home
can't hear it.
office.
You're good. You can't hear
Okay, it's driving me
it.
crazy. Okay, speaking of things that would drive you crazy, if you work for Google, you are being beset, or you have been beset by rumors that the big hand of the Department of Justice is going to come along and somehow break you up. Which it might, because the Department of Justice and the weight of the American court system, that's worth, has found that Google has been doing some pretty bad things, antitrust and monopolizing the ad space, and they've been going through an ad tech antitrust case in New York where the government, their idea of a remedy is telling Google to divest itself of Google Ad Manager.
Yeah, Google's in Google's words, DOJ's proposed changes go far beyond the court's liability decision and the law on risk harming business across the country. We propose building on ad managers' interoperability, letting publishers use third-party tools to access their advertisers' bid in real time. So basically, Google's like, hey, we'll open it up to like other people getting the information. This is if people think, oh, I don't understand because didn't they just have a case on this? No, this is another case on. This. So, go ahead.
Well, interestingly, you're right. They had another case, and Google has kind of suggested the outcome of the other case should be the outcome of this case. We'll share information and make it interoperable.
Yeah, exactly. And we don't know yet right now. They haven't made a decision, but it was a very direct correlation in how they were manipulating the product, I guess is the right word. So this one is a little more definite than the other one. It's a little more defined.
Well, it is, Google's over a barrel, and that the sheriff has them Duke boys exactly where he wants them this time, and all that sort of stuff. I
Exactly.
really don't know how the outcome of this is how this is gonna turn out, but my money is on Google coming out intact because
Usually.
this. I remember that scene in Succession where.
No, I've not
Where
seen it.
the talk you've never seen Succession. Well, there's this
Only one episode. Yeah.
one scene where Tom, the character, says to another, "You know what? I've seen you get screwed every time. Every time I've seen you get screwed, but I've never seen your dad get screwed. I'm betting on your dad."
Oh.
Well, same thing with here. I've seen the government chase Google around the block. How many times now?
Yeah.
And the EU, I mean, the EU hit them with like a $3 billion fine, which for Google is the coins that are stuffed down the sofa. Or for Alphabet Corporation, that's the coins they lost sitting when they that's the money they lost when they rode an A ticket ride at Disneyland. Like that's nothing to them, but that's what the $3 billion is what they were hit with. Actually, it's a lot of money. It's a hell of a lot of money to them, and to their investors. That's an actual penalty. In North America, nothing's going to happen. I
Yeah, we
don't
were
think.
really surprised at the last one because I know the judge was not happy with Google during that entire case. So he did not meter out the level of punishment that we thought that they
But
would
the
with a
level of
case like this.
punishment would have destroyed an information ecosystem that
Oh, 100%,
all of
yeah.
us rely on. So that's the weird. I mean, it's amazing, eh? Too big to
Yeah.
fail.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so We got to get moving. Okay, now
Yeah, we do.
you got checkout time coming. You got somebody
Yeah,
banging
I
on your
do.
door. Hey, miss, I'm
They
doing a radio
will.
show.
They will be if I'm like, hey, we got to pause for a second. That will be
Okay, so this is a weird one, but I think I kind of understand what's happening here too. It's falling out or what? So Microsoft is adding Anthropic's Claude AI model to 365 Copilot, as Microsoft puts it, their relationship with as their relationship with OpenAI evolves.
Is this sort of like when you have that, like you're dating and you're kind of breaking up, but you're not really breaking up? Because now we know that OpenAI has been seeking out other partners like NVIDIA, and then there's, investing in data centers. And it seems like, when Microsoft told OpenAI they were a competitor next year, and last year, I mean, next year, I can see into the future. They really meant it, and OpenAI took it seriously, and so they're slowly, we're now adding another model to our stuff, so you can use that instead. And I do know coders tend to prefer Claude over OpenAI for coding, which is more accurate, better model for that. So anyway, it is interesting that they're doing this. So yeah.
Incidentally, Grok 3 and Grok 3 Mini are also going to be available via Azure, via the Foundry.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, Microsoft is opening the door to a whole bunch of different models, I guess, to give, you know what? Because different models are doing different tasks for different people.
Yeah.
Microsoft is, I think, just sort of going with their users are really using this thing, not that thing. They have all, I mean, if anyone's got the numbers on what Microsoft users are doing, it's Microsoft.
Yeah, very much.
And that's why it's good to own the platform.
Yeah, it does help.
Okay, speaking of major platforms and problems with AI, Spotify has had a problem with AI in that, people were creating music out of AI. Spotify itself was creating music out of AI and passing it off as real music, as real artist music. And the cool thing for Spotify is with AI music, you don't got to pay nobody no royalties, or at least if you make it, if it's your AI. Spotify doesn't want to pay other people's AI royalties, so it's
Yeah.
announced AI safeguards and says it's removed, get this, 75 million
Yeah, right? I
spammy
thought that was
tracks.
high. Yeah, that's a lot. I was surprised. And it has a new policy, new protections include a policy to police unauthorized vocal impression, deep fakes, fraudulent music uploaded to artists' official profiles, enhanced spam filter, prevent mass uploads, duplicates, SEO hacks, artificially short tracks designed to fraudulently boost streaming numbers and payments. Apparently, they raised their payment amount. I don't know exactly when, but it was in the fairly recent past.
Oh, can we go back a step there?
What's that?
Is there a genre of SEO I didn't know about where you can
No.
SEO hack Spotify?
Yeah, I was just trying to like gloss through that one because anytime something gets manipulated, it's like, oh, it says SEO people. It's like SEO search engines. I mean, there may be something people are doing in search to make these,
I wonder if
appear
you
more than
can
they
use it with
should.
metadata of your audio file to make
Maybe.
Spotify
Well,
love it a little bit more.
Maybe. I don't
Interesting.
know
I
because
never thought of that.
I don't do
Ha!
Spotify optimizations, so I don't know.
Well, I'm
So,
looking
but
for
there
work, see, so I do
are.
Spotify optimization. All you gotta do is this, this, and that, you see?
So their total payouts were in 2014 were 1 billion. Now they're 10 billion. So it did increase their payouts quite a bit. They're also working with an industry standard, creating an industry standard for streaming music, and developed through DDEX. I know the acronym. I cannot tell you. I know what it means. But they're going to be submitted through labels, distributors, and music partners, and they're going to start all working together to try to tamp down on this issue with music spamification. I just made that word up.
Good. Good, good, good.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to hear.
Okay, I want to go over this one as quickly as possible because I don't like
Yeah.
mentioning this person. The not richest person in the world anymore, Elon Musk, is trying to become the richest person in the world again. And Tesla is now buying ads on Twixter on X to get shareholders to vote for for a $1 trillion compensation package for Elon Musk. Okay.
I don't even want to get into why that would be, considering the state of things. But yes, I just think it's interesting that they're running ads, because Tesla's actually very anti-ad. So it's very interesting, I guess. And they said that the compensation, Musk said the compensation is not about money, but about control over Tesla. So anyway, they're trying to, if you're a shareholder, they are targeting you with ads to try to get you to vote yes. Just so
It's
you're aware.
not about the money. Like,
No,
it's
it's
a
not about
trillion
the trillion
dollars.
dollars.
It's not about the money. It's about control. Well, and actually, it's shares of. It is actually about control of, but it's not
Which
about the money at all.
no, not about having $1 trillion to your name.
From the "It's good to be the king" file, it's really good to control the platform. It's good to control the desktops. It's good to control the operating system. It's good to control the browser. It's good to control whatever point of entry the user is coming to you at. And well, Microsoft controls the operating system for at least half the computers in the world. And one of the things that was frustrated the most is it makes this really amazing Chromium-based browser called Edge. And it comes standard with every Windows operating system out there, and people open it. So the very first thing people do when they get the new operating system is they open Edge and install Chrome
And download Google, I guess.
and download Google's Chrome. Yeah, so but it drives
Yeah,
them nuts. So
it does.
Bing is so Edge is now putting up a advertisement, a shade screen. It's kind of edgy, recommending that you use Edge rather than it's the recommended browser for Windows 11, not Chrome.
And so some of its key features are built-in VPN for your protection, AI personalization, and the Microsoft Rewards program are its main selling points. That is funny. They've been doing these. If you've listened to us for a while, you know that Microsoft does these things from time to time to just throw shade on Google and get you to use Microsoft, including
Every step back,
pretending.
get a built-in VPN. That's actually kind of cool.
That is pretty cool, yeah.
Especially for those states where, Pornhub has been made illegal.
It probably
I
is.
why do you think Bing put that there? Why do you think
Wink,
Microsoft, sorry, put that there, huh?
wink. Wink,
I'm sure of it. Yeah, wink, wink. This is a radio show, so the listeners can't see
wink.
the mile-wide wink I'm giving across the studio on that
Yeah.
one.
Yes. And on a positive with Microsoft is it clarifies its nonprofit ad grant program status. So I guess I'm not sure from the article if it's been on hiatus. But anyways, it hasn't been available, and it will be available again. You can apply for these grants if you're a nonprofit, a 501c. You can't be in hospital, schools, or government cannot do these free ads, but other people can. So if you're a nonprofit, no matter your size, you should go over and apply and see if you can get some free ad credit to promote your nonprofit. That's
I'm
nice.
a
That's good to know.
nonprofit digital marketing education center.
Exactly.
There you go.
There we go.
Okay, if you are a teen and you're looking to act all grown up on Meta, they won't let you. Meta's rolled out teen accounts for Facebook and Messenger. And
Internationally, they're already here in the U.S., but
okay, it's
internationally,
been rolled out.
yes.
Really? Okay, it's been rolled out
Yeah.
internationally. This is new to me and my teenage persona, Steve. No, I do not have a teenage persona,
You
Steve.
can
I
see
made
the eyes, and you better
that
correct
up.
that really quick.
Totally made that up.
Sounds a little creepy.
Okay, so what does this do? So if you're under 16, you need parental permission to change any of the settings, and there's going to be apparently some fairly hearken limitations on what is and is not appropriate content.
Yeah, it also can only contact people that are already connected to them, and they also have a quiet mode at night. So they can't be using it, like in their bedroom in the
You
middle
can
of the AMs.
okay, so you can only contact people who are already connected to you. This is kind of like what is this one of those catch-22s? You can't get a job, so you got job experience, but you can't get job experience, so you got a job, sort of things. How do you get connected to somebody if you
No,
can't
because you
contact
can
them?
add.
Oh,
Well, you
okay.
can. You, I mean, messenger, messenger, con. Yeah, messenger, and people can't message you if you're not connected to them. Because you know all those horrible stories where like a doll impersonates somebody to talk to a child, so they won't be able to do that on these accounts. So if your child doesn't have these accounts, you probably should add it. Make sure they're more protected because we know Meta does not protect children. And if you want to know anything about that, just listen to our last 3 weeks of Meta stories. We don't have to go over them now, but they're really bad.
This one's kind of neat. And this one actually, this story could actually have been up in the Abyss column as much as it is sitting here in
Could,
this.
yeah. I did debate that.
Watchdogs in the state of Louisiana, or I'm sorry, in Mississippi, have. Oh, sorry, my mistake. This happened in two different states. So Louisiana and Mississippi, a couple different stories. Meta in Louisiana, Amazon in Mississippi, in both cases. Huge amounts of money in Louisiana's case, $3 billion power upgrade for Meta's massive data centers, AI data centers. Thing is, this bill that's on the power company is charging, is being distributed evenly throughout the population. So the ratepayers of Louisiana, the people paying their power bills, are helping subsidize Meta's electricity costs for their AI power structure. And the same thing is happening in Mississippi, where Amazon has opened two large data centers, cost $10 billion to build. An Indiana utility is proposing a data center focused subsidy that operates outside of normal state regulations. But all of this is being paid for by distributing the costs evenly, sort of, across consumer electricity bills. Basically, this is a tax on consumers through the power company to subsidize the data corporations.
Yeah, pretty much. And these are not the first two. There have been others in the past where this has occurred too. People have found in certain areas of the country that their bills, power bills, have gone up substantially. 20%, 30%, and then they find out it's because of this kind of. A company comes in with an AI based and needs all this power, and they offer them these kind of benefits. And I don't know why we're doing that with companies that are worth $1 trillion, but apparently we are.
Well,
So.
check this out. In Louisiana, in contract with Meta, the power company Entergy is going to be building three gas-powered plants to produce 2.262 megawatts, which is about a fifth of what Entergy currently supplies the state of Louisiana with. People are curious. How much is this going to cost me? How much is, well, more importantly, how much is Meta kicking in? You're never going to find
Yeah,
out because they got a non-disclosure agreement concealing how much Meta's
exactly.
going to pay. You'll never know.
Yeah. So if you live in these areas, you definitely want to be asking your local leaders, how much are you paying for this and what are the terms of the agreement? Because also, there is nothing in the agreement that prevents them from just dumping the project. And then that city and state, county, whoever has to take care of it, then has to maintain it afterwards, which can cost an area, especially poorer areas, a lot of money they don't have. So all grid users expect to pay help pay for 550 million transmission line also serving the Meta facility. So you're not just paying for the power, but you're also paying for the infrastructure. So and they, it's not like these offer a lot of jobs to people. These data centers, they're run with quite a low number of people.
So there you go. Okay, this one's kind of neat. So for the last no 3 or 4 months, since March or April. No, I'm sorry, it was May. May was when we noticed the great decoupling, when the number of clicks, as influenced by AI mode and AI overtures, decreased fairly substantially. But the number of impressions, the purple line in Search Console, remained steady, or in many cases raised slightly, as we
Or a
figured AI,
lot.
as AI mode and AI overviews was, you could get four or five quote unquote impressions from a single page appearance, from a single search result page, suddenly because of AI mode and AI overviews, and it was kind of difficult to know how they were counting impressions. Well, since the change, in the way Google serves up bulk queries. They've removed the parameter and num
The
equals
number
100.
100, yeah.
So that used to be where search ranking tools or Google would serve up 100 queries all on one page or all in one info request. They don't do that anymore, and that had ripple effects on so many different. I think the law of unintended consequences, or do you think Google knew this? It's another thing for another day, I think. But
Yeah, because we know it hurts our own product, so it's hard to know. But
I'm
they
more.
did let a, they did. We do know now the impressions were most likely from all the AI scraping. So it is kind of surprising Google let it go on that long without addressing it. So
Well, yeah, but don't forget, I think a lot of Google tools were also in on the AI scraping themselves.
that's true. That's
And
true.
we've finally eaten lunch. Now we pull up the ladder so nobody else gets to eat lunch.
Well, yeah, that's how it works, right?
That's how it appears to work, because that's
Yeah.
exactly why they shut this down, because one of the things that got affected by removing the num equals and or and num equals 100 parameter was no, Google wouldn't serve up massive blocks of requests, so it's harder to massively crawl Google, and for search ranking tools, it's harder to. It costs more to request more bulk information, but for the AI crawlers and scrapers and stuff, and again, they're just there requesting information, just like this, just like the rank checking tools were, and using that number one and equals number 100 parameter to suck in bulk information in big 100 big blocks. So they've kind of stopped
This
querying Google so frequently. That's
is true,
causing.
isn't it? Yeah,
But
good.
here's the neat thing. In some cases, I've seen a drop in significant drops in queries, and in some cases, I haven't seen it at all.
Well, I think it's just a lot more just on the impression side because the clicks don't seem to be
No.
dropping.
Well, yeah, just I'm talking the purple line in and so
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I measure queries by impressions. If there's a query and your site's ranking, you got yourself an impression. So sorry about that. Yeah, I haven't
So,
seen the purple line on even on some e-com sites. Like, I thought it was going to be a major nosedive, but on some sites, incredible nosedive.
yeah, it probably just depends on how much they were scraping you, right? So, if
Yeah.
you're an informational site, you're going to be more likely scraped and a lot more often than you would be if you were an e-commerce site. So, that makes sense, I think.
Well, so if you've seen a major drop in impressions on the starting on the date September 10th, this is why. The great decoupling in many cases may well have just been AI bots. It was a miscall on the search community, the SEO community's part. And yeah, the power of the scraper. Now, what does this mean for training LLMs into the future if they can't
Yeah, don't
figure
know,
stuff
right?
out based on Google results?
And also a lot of the tools in the industry are struggling too because now they can only take 20, the 20 at a time. I found out from someone who actually has a tool, SpyFu, that would have, I believe, added to their costs if they do the pagination way, which you have to do now because you only get 20 at a time, would increase their costs like something like 100 times.
Oh yeah, well, every new
Yeah.
page is a huge amount of money for them to create, right? Then they have to do that at scale.
Exactly. So it's a really big deal. Most of the tools have decided just to go with 20. Some are doing 30 instead. You won't find tools right now that are you, or you won't likely until they find out a cheaper way to do it that are doing 100 anymore. They're just going to give top 20, top 30 results.
It's like I joked last week, ain't no SEO bragging about being in the top 30. I
No.
want to be in the top 10, otherwise I'm not anywhere. But yeah, but I want to know
Yeah.
where I am, even if I'm in the top 50 or top 100. I want to
Yeah.
know where I am on my progression on the way upwards.
Exactly.
But yeah, ain't nobody bragging about being in the top 100.
They're not.
Okay, Google Search Live is live. In the US,
Yeah.
anyway, so voice and camera, you're in AI mode.
Yeah, you can actually like use the AI, you can like use your camera video even, and like
speaking users in the U.S. within the Google app on Android and iOS, along with
Jim, did your
real-time
phone go off again?
interactive voice conversations and the option to share your camera feed for visual
I'm
context.
going to name you Claude, just to punish you.
For
Yeah, that was
those
my
that don't
phone.
know,
Sorry about that.
Jim's phone is like feeling sad it's not part of the show. So at least once every show, it has to jump in and say something.
It didn't last week, but that's because I buried it under my
You did.
office
You buried it
sofa
under the
pillows.
pillows. Yeah.
Oh man, that was annoying. I'm so sorry about that. I am honestly, I'm going to name it Claude just to punish it.
He's trying. He hasn't. Yeah, it just seems to just do it out of nowhere. So crazy.
Okay, Cloudflare is offering a way to block AI overviews.
That's interesting, right?
Kinda. Here's the
I
thing,
mean,
it
that it
requires
can.
cooperation.
Yeah, they're using a. You can put it in the robot text. There's a bit of code. I think this is on. Is this on Search Engine Journal? No, Search Engine Lens, right?
Yes, from Search Engine Land. Simple
Search Engine
code,
Lens.
the user
Simple, very simple
agent,
code.
star. Content signal search equals yes, AI train equals no, allow universal or allow slash. So I guess like from full site.
Yeah, and they're going to Google doesn't have to agree to use it, but they're going to try to work with Google to let to agree to use this. I don't know if they will or not, though, because that would hurt their training
Well, the
information.
question.
But
The question is, Google may or may not respect an AI training directive, and I think eventually they're going to have to. I think, honest to goodness, over time, I think people are going to demand, and for some reason, I just like robots text. I think there will be a w thing, a way to force Google and force the large the LLMs to respect a standardized. You can come here, you can't come here. There has to be. I mean,
yeah.
because some information on the web does need to be kept private.
And
I know if
also,
you don't want it private, don't put it on the web. But it's a distribution system, right?
it costs so much money for companies because the resources that it uses when it crawls your site like that. So people have a financial reason to not want them to do that all the time.
But here's the bigger question for me. Google might even agree to a we're not to a yes no a no index no follow sort of regime. Will Google ever agree to give micropayments to people whose content they use?
That's a whole different thing, right?
Yeah,
So I
that's not what
don't.
this is about, but this is
Yeah.
kind of sort of what this is all locked into. Because
Well, we
remember,
know.
Cloudflare also said we want to make them pay for your content.
Yeah. Well, I think at some point, I mean, something has to give, right? They can't be using their product that they stole the content, put it in their product, and they're stealing the clicks. No matter how
Well,
much Google says they're not stealing the clicks, they're stealing the clicks.
Google Organic does this all the time. It's been doing it
Yeah.
for years, really.
Yeah, but you got the
This is, I
click
mean, this is
every.
different. I know, I realize this
Yeah.
is different, but.
You got the click. You just don't get the click anymore. I don't think anyone cared when they got the click. So we'll see what happens. But it does have to change. Companies won't survive, websites won't survive, and LLMs need websites. You can't train them if you don't have public content and new content.
Yep.
So they can't destroy what they're being fed with. And so far, synthetic data doesn't work. So that is their only option to make sure these sites stay alive.
Imagine LLM is off-Broadway productions of original plays. If there ain't no play, if there ain't no show, there ain't no audience. And if there ain't no audience, there ain't no show.
Exactly. Right. Good analogy. Yeah, very good
Circle of
analogy.
life, eh?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what this is. This is a Circle of Life edition. Okay, so Google is making it easier for the to get the API or to complete the API process for local inventory feeds. This is a really good thing. If you streamline the process, merchants will put their inventory in and it can be sold basically right on through the SERPs.
Yeah, that is a good thing.
If it moves product. Honest to goodness, if it moves product, that's what if
It
right
moves
now
product, we'll
for
take it.
right yeah for e-tailers, if it moves product, they will take it right now. Absolutely.
Yeah, for
Especially if
sure.
it moves more product than my competitor.
Yeah, exactly.
It's The companies I've been working with are doing really well in the e-tail space. Incidentally, that one of them will continue on till the end of October, the really, really, really big e-com one. Hopefully, it'll continue on long after that. That's a different thing altogether. But they're doing really well in the e-com space. But anything to bring more revenues in, especially if you're doing well, you want to do against your competitor, you want to push just a little bit harder. So I think this is a great opportunity again to sell more stuff.
Yeah, I would say that's true. That makes a lot of sense.
So this is coming. Absolutely, this is going to be coming because one thing. So the internet was the great equalizer and allowed people to become publishers in their own right, right? AI is allowing people to become their own tool makers, and people are doing that. Like, if you can do it, if you can get something crafted together that's good enough for your purposes, people are doing that. And so people are creating personal crawlers and personal SEO tools, and they're inundating Google with it. I mean, so much so that Google just made a major change that has caused a butterfly effect of other changes throughout the industry. And so John Mueller is now speculating on authentication for personal crawlers and SEO tools.
Which sounds
And
like a smart idea, right?
it's coming. It's absolutely
Yeah.
coming.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'll charge to it. I don't think it will, but it is a smart idea for Google to authenticate what's hitting it. So.
If there's a whole bunch, okay, so this is basically just the basic laws of supply and demand. And if there's a whole bunch more demanding from the same supply, they're going to charge for it, especially if you want more than 20 results for a result set.
Yeah, that's true too. But at least they'll be
And
authenticating it. That'll be good.
I'm sorry?
At least they'll be authenticating it. That's good.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is good for Google mostly because they'll know who's going in and out of their system, but it could also be good for the tool makers. If you are authenticated, you will probably have more leeway to go in and out of the system. You will probably get more result sets back. And you will probably have a bug or a symbol you can put on your website that makes like a trust mark, making it easier to sell a service to others.
Oh, that's very true. Yeah, I could definitely see Google doing that.
Okay, so John Mueller tries to explain keyword cannibalization to SEOs.
Yeah.
You
Yeah.
want to go for this one?
Well, it was very interesting because it basically his crux of his argument was just because the you see the same two results in a SERP, from your site. They're not necessarily being keyword cannibalized. It's like they may be, but they may not be. That's not necessarily the reason that it shows in that SERP where you have two of the same listings. So I thought that was quite an interesting take on that. What do you think, Jim?
Well, I think John's explaining it from Google's point of view, not from an SEO's point of view.
Well, that's true too.
I was targeting page A, not page B or C with these keywords. And I was targeting page A for a reason. B or C, they're there for another reason. And they're being targeted with other keywords. Now, if I'm going to make the sale, I'm going to make the sale, right? But if B or C are eating into A's campaign, the whole structure of stuff I have around A, then that is a problem for me.
Yeah.
But I mean, end of the day, are we making sales? Are we not making sales? Now, if B or C overtakes A for the keywords I'm targeting a page A, we got a really serious, honest to goodness, we got a react to problem. But
Yeah,
most
and I
keyword
think there's,
cannibalization is opportunity.
yeah, I think there's two kinds of keyword cannibalization, right? The page is showing up for the one that should be there and is not winning. I'm sorry, the one that should be there is not winning. And then you worry about it going to a page that you don't want it to go to because that wasn't what the page was being targeted for. And then there's others where you have similar keywords on similar pages. And as you just said, that's an opportunity because then you have multiple listings. And as long as you're optimized properly on your site design for the journey path, for the user, like if it's e-commerce, then you get multiple chances of someone clicking on you. As long as they're leading to the same place and they're not the wrong match, the wrong intent match.
Yeah. Now, I mean, if you do have a serious problem, it's probably in your internal linking scheme.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, that's maybe more important than most people think. You and I know that, and any kind of
Right.
Glassio knows that. But a few years back, Google really amped up how much that affects your site's rankings and the juice to the pages coming in from your links. And so, if you're not doing internal linking optimization, you really, really should be.
You know what blew people understanding internal link structure and internal link optimization? A whole bunch of bogus stuff around link sculpting.
Yeah, that's
Honest to
true.
goodness,
Yeah.
I swear to God, that's what blew the entire school of thought and research, and people stopped looking into it when we started thinking about link sculpting. And I remember thinking how silly that was. You're not
Little
driving energy by sculpting links, but
juice.
you are moving energy by phrasing links.
Yeah, that's very true. And you want to make sure that I know
It's not
people
a
hate link
spigot.
juice. It just makes the most sense to me, link juice. But you just want to make sure it's going to the pages that should have the
Oh,
links.
indeed. What I'm saying is you
You're
can't
not
sculpt that
sculpting.
energy. You can't like force it in certain paths and stuff. It doesn't actually work that way. You can prompt it though, and the users will you can prompt it and the users will go those directions and make those clicks. But more importantly, just give the crawler the opportunity to connect this entity with that entity.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Google asks just honest pricing practices policy updates. So you misrepresent your pricing, and Google's likely going to find you and slap you about.
It's just minor changes, but people should go read it. It's too much for us to read here, of course.
Well, I mean, bait and switch is the most obvious one. I tell you it's
Yeah.
one thing here, and when we get to the checkout, it's suddenly in a totally different thing.
Exactly.
This one might be more for you than me. I'm not sure how to deal with this. Google to label some search ads with not a government website. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yeah,
Why?
in the
What's
US,
this about?
I don't know if they do this in Canada, but like for a long time, you go search for your DMV, right? Your motor vehicles where you get your license and everything, and these sites would come up at the top, and they looked like your government site, but they were not your government site. And most of them were benign. They were just people trying to get revenue off of clicks, but some were not benign. So I think that will be a very good label to have because they'll have to prove, of course, that they're government to be labeled with it. So I think that'll be very positive. So people can't be easily phished, for their personal information by appearing to be a government website. So I think that's a good idea.
That's probably
And
a good thing.
ads definitely shouldn't be sending people to bad sites. So malicious, nefarious, I mean, sites.
Okay, so Google is testing citation cards below AI overviews rather than off onto the right-hand side of the screen. I guess hoping that that will draw more eyes to where a blue link should be rather than a paid ad would be. If that's my
Although
guess.
the Barry doesn't, Barry Schwartz, who writes these articles and is the number one reporter for our industry, doesn't think it'll help. I'm not sure by looking at it. They're kind of trying to mimic what Bing does, but Bing does it with colors that stand out, and Google does everything with this like muted blend in kind of concept. It's blue, but it's like a light blue, like the light gray. So we'll see if it helps. But because it's collapsed into the AI overview and no longer on the side where you just see it. It is a chance that it'll really drop the click-throughs even more. So,
It's, so it's harder to discern as separate from the AI overview response because actually it's not separate, it's part of. But yeah, it's harder to discern that it's there. Yeah, that is true.
you have to click it open, and you have to see it at the bottom scroll all the way. So.
A AI mode travel planning feature gains more features. That's, I guess, pretty cool.
Yeah, there's just more. They're adding more features to the when you kind of do a travel planning. I'm sorry, not to your travel planning, but so that when you're doing travel planning, there's more things that you see for that kind of search intent. So I think it's positive. It'll be good. They're also adding kind of, not really with it, but we'll just say translate a conversation button in the AI mode where. You can now translate an entire conversation from AI mode into a language that you need to read it in.
This is actually super wonderful. Like, I love this. I actually heard of a feature. This is not a Google story. I heard of a feature of earbuds that have AI
Yeah.
translators in them now.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, that's pretty cool. And people can hear your lang their language when you talk.
That is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Babelfish, and Star
Yeah.
Trek Universal
Yeah.
Translator level amazing.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, AI mode is testing moving the query off to the right-hand side. So
Yeah, I
your query
see.
box will be over there somewhere.
Well, it's not the box, it's a label, but it's like so tiny and now it's on the right, so I bet people won't see it because you reread left to right. There's no indicator on the left to look to the right. So, and it's above the right corner of the box and quite small. You have to see it on the Google to see that, but so anyway, yeah, so we'll see. I don't know why. Sometimes I think they just make up stuff to
Uh-oh, speaking of
do.
making up stuff to do, Google's testing AI-generated product summaries and AI mode results. Click on a specific product, it gives you an AI-generated product summary.
It's sort of
I
like
know there's
Amazon
content
does.
writers out there, there's features are just like clinking in their seats right now.
Well, the good thing is most companies don't do much product like page writing. Like big
That is
companies
true.
that, yeah. Like I know, like when I worked with Zappos, they had a writer that rewrote every product description, which was good. That's why they ranked number one for everything that they did. But most companies don't. And this is sort of like the Amazon feature. When you go into Amazon now, it's like people like the product here, the reasons, blah, blah, blah. It's actually
Yeah.
helpful on
Okay.
Amazon.
That
So,
you know what? I withdraw.
yeah.
Although I do think content creators should have their sphincters scrambling right now.
No, I think you forgot last week I told you, maybe offline, that writer jobs have increased 6% in the last quarter.
I
Yeah.
can see that to a degree, but I do think that again, it's a matter of time. Content is everything, and people are scared of AI content. And AI content will improve over time, probably as these new writers are teaching how to be better.
Well, I think what's happening is people are getting more and more of nervous about Google's reaction to it. Because the conference I was just
Indeed.
at, instead of like write content with AI, write content with AI, it's like you shouldn't write content with the AI unless you have a human editor and you're reviewing it and you add things to it, and which makes
You were
sense.
hanging out with Matt Toons, the great content creator Matt
Yes,
Toons.
Matt uses no AI whatsoever.
Yep, I can see
Yeah,
that. I can see that being a point of
yeah.
pride with him.
It is, yeah, because Matt Toons, I feel bad. I don't know what his company's named right now because we hadn't seen each other in a number of years. But Matt Toons is one of the best for TUENS, not TUNES, for content, especially if you need specialized content from technical people, lawyers, medical, things like that. He
He's
does an
also a
amazing.
warm and wonderful dude.
He really is. He's an awesome person. So real quick, we just have a few of the short stories today.
One last thing about this AI generated product content. You've worked
Yeah.
on the sites where they use like catalog content that comes from the distributors, or
Yeah. We're seeing
so I
do.
can see this being incredibly useful there.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I withdraw my objection.
So there were a lot of like Bing changed this color today, and I didn't add all those. I just added a couple. So I'm like, we do that every week, and it's like, I don't know, everyone needs to know all the little changes Bing is doing. But this was reported in the industry this week. So, Bing tests color for lines in search results. So, I don't actually think this is a good
Look
UI
at me, look
change.
at me, look at me, look, please look at
Yeah,
me,
they're like
please. I'm over here.
horizontal colored with shading underneath that's gradient between like sections of the page all the way across. I don't know, this is clunky and awkward to me, but people can tell if they like them. And then Google is adding search ads with free shipping text attributes, which is actually fantastic because I worked for, like I said, Zappos, and it's a big shoe fashion company, mostly shoes. And we put they had they would never Tony Hsieh would never let you put discounts or 10% off or any of that stuff, but they let me put free in the title tags, free shipping. So like we have to have it. Every luxury brand tells you in the top bar at Christmas time how much their shipping is, because it's a deciding factor in every purchase, right? I have cut off purchases because it's like $10 shipping. I'm like, I'm buying $20 worth of stuff. No, okay, I'll go somewhere else. So now you can actually put it in the ad that says free shipping. And when we did do that, I put free shipping, and we had measurable increases in click-through rates through the title tags because of that. So
Free shipping is massive in e-commerce.
massive. And
Massive.
Zappos had return free shipping too. So it's just free shipping all the way around. And not everybody does that. So
I mean, let's face it, free is the second favorite F letter, F word for the English language. So.
exactly. It really is. And then this is just a real quick one. Google search test featured store sponsored ad section. Say that five times fast. So Google is testing a new ad section in the search results name featured stores, not stories, stores. And they're just going to put blocks of featured stores in there like a carousel for the product that you're looking at with an image of the product, the name of the store, be able to click through that kind of thing.
I really hope all this. I mean, it's another place that I think Google can make a whole bunch of money from, and I hope they don't, but they're gonna.
I Google product pages are so they're like, remember Ling cars, and they changed their website. I was so sad. You know what I'm talking about, right? The one where like open up, it's like flashing gifts and there's cars everywhere and colors, and I feel like product pages are like that, but not fun like Ling cars were.
Well, I'm beginning to I'm worried that search engines are making themselves like department stores or supermarkets, where every piece of shelf space is actually bought and paid for by the brand. So if you want prominent display, you can get it, but it costs you. And
No, there's truth to
I see that
that.
creeping into Google, and that's kind of frightening me.
Which is kind of ironic because the reason, not the only reason, one of the reasons Google defeated Yahoo was Yahoo integrated, sponsored into organic search. And Google came out and said, here's organic and here's search on the side. And they are not the same, nor are they intermixed, nor do you have to buy to place. And in Yahoo, you had to buy to place. So it just seems weird that they're going in that direction. But, this is one of those where I'm like, we'll see how it implements on the full page. But yeah,
Well,
it's a
again,
lot.
there's been a couple stories this week, and a few stories we covered in the past. Just give me this feeling that Google's setting itself up to go this direction, and that would be terrible for the information ecosystem. But those are stories for other days because they haven't actually happened yet.
Yes, and normally we have an end story, but the end story today is we need to wrap up because Christine is going to be kicked out of her hotel room
You got a bellboy banging on your door any second
for
now,
being
eh?
20 minutes late. Yeah.
Okay. Well, to the day manager at the day auditor at Christine's hotel. Hey, we're sorry. To everybody else, Darren and Brandy in the front office, and Brasco and Ricky in the studio. Thank you all very much. To Wix Studio and to audience here, our sponsors, thank you so much. And the audience, thank you. Love and share each other frequently, and like and share us as much as you can too. Christine, thank you so much. On behalf of Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. You've been listening to Webcology recorded live to podcast on the 25th of September, 2025. Three more shopping months till Christmas. One more short quarter till 2026. Be kind, be lovely, be good to each other, rank well, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.